Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ben. All right, I want to get your thoughts on some very recent comments from U.S. President Donald Trump. So he has backtracked on his campaign promise, now saying China is not a currency manipulator, also saying a strong U.S. dollar is hurting America's competitiveness. What do you make of all that?
Well, I know what the market certainly made of it last night. Everything denominated in U.S. dollars had a big, big night to the upside, and of course the U.S. dollar index fell and is just holding on to a 100 at the moment after earlier in the week being above 101, 101.20, I think, after the release of the non-farm payrolls last week. So, look, he's dropped a lot of his rhetoric. You know, the candidate Trump is a much different person to President Trump. He's changed his rhetoric against China in terms of being a currency manipulator, which he was adamant was the case as a candidate Trump. He even changed tact against Janet Yellen last night and interest rates, saying that he likes the low interest rate environment. And that Janet Yellen's doing a pretty good job. That's a parrot quote there. But as I said, a lot of the rhetoric has been dropped. It was a very, very big night for currencies and for gold as well. They were the real standouts in the markets last night. In terms of the equity market reaction, it had a bit of an adverse effect, but it was quite choppy trade in the lead up anyway. But currencies, the big winner, US dollar, the big loser.
Now, if what we're seeing here, as you suggest, is a more pragmatic Trump, you know, what does that say about the execution risk for his other policies? I'm thinking of that infrastructure spending, you know, that wall, you know, and bringing all those jobs back to America.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what to think about all that. You know, given he wasn't able to get the healthcare policy through the rescinding of Obamacare through his own house. He still holds out hope for that and says that it makes more sense to get the healthcare package through before he starts focusing on big tax breaks for corporate America. A lot of this has been priced into valuations, especially on equity markets, just purely because of the earnings per share accretive nature of any said tax break. So we watch, we wait, we hope, but at this stage, very little to sink our teeth into. I just wonder how much more forgiveness equity markets will have for you know, when it comes to all of these policies, given they've already priced it in. And given that we're waiting, and given that the valuation on some of these stocks in corporate America are at very ritzy multiples, obviously we want to see that earnings season can you know, keep pace with some of these said trading multiples at the moment.
Now, so as you alluded to, yes, we are under we've got U.S. earnings season now underway. So, I mean, what are your overall expectations there? Then, you know? Could this translate into another big run for U.S. equities?
Well, it could. I mean, there's the expectations are glowing, really, 10% plus in terms of earnings growth across the board for the first quarter. So, and accompanying that should be sort of relatively upbeat outlooks as well. So, that's at a minimum that we want to see. You know, it's quite a hurdle that some of these corporates need to negotiate. Obviously, there's going to be, as with every earnings season, there's going to be winners and losers. But 10% is what the market is pricing in at this stage to keep up with these lofty multiples. Obviously, anything on the plus side of that will be quite well rewarded. We might see the S&P and the Dow go up and challenge a fresh all-time record high. It certainly wouldn't want to undershoot those estimates, though. We may see a little bit of a correction across equity markets if those numbers don't come up to snuff.
Now, besides corporate earnings and also those recent comments by Trump, how much do you think geopolitics is driving markets now? Because we do have quite the geopolitical storm going on. We've got U.S.-Russia ties strained over Syria, while North Korea appears to be a sore point in U.S.-China relations. How much does geopolitics factor into market activity in the very near term?
Oh, it does. It does. No two ways. But as opposed to sort of toss out currently held equities, it seems that the market is just taking a little bit of insurance, and that's playing out with gold markets, for instance. So it seems investors and traders are happy to hold onto long equity positions, but at the same time they're also buying some gold as well, just to offer them some insurance in case things deteriorate on that in a geopolitical sense. But we watch it. It's a market, I guess, that's being driven at this stage headline to headline. All sort of corners of the globe are talking a big game at the moment. We've had North Korea tell us what they're willing to do. We've had Trump urge China to get involved, but say if China's not going to get involved, they're going to do it. They'll solve the situation themselves. It does represent a risk, but I guess it just goes to show you how much confidence and how high sentiment is in global equities at the market at the moment. In previous years, anything like this, some sort of flare up like this, would see equities tossed out, almost be a baby out with the bathwater scenario. But it hasn't been the case at the moment, just because there's so much confidence and so much conviction and so much expectation in terms of what we're going to see going out later into 2017.
Now, switching to economics, though, you've got IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde recently saying she sees global growth picking up. Also, now, is that primarily a U.S.-centric story, you think?
Oh, I would suggest so, yes. Certainly led by the U.S. They lead and other economies tend to follow, of course. We're still looking for some bang for our buck from all this monetary stimulus coming out of Europe and Japan, and it's expected that that will follow at some stage, but certainly coming out of the quagmire that was the GFC certainly appears to be the biggest kid in the yard, and that's the US, and no doubt that's what Christine Lagarde was referring to. So better times ahead for the rest of this year, but things should improve globally over the next few years, as I said, as some of the sleeping giants awaken.
Now, real quick, got a segue into oil here. OPEC has upgraded its world oil demand forecast for this year, with Asia very much a key reason for that upward revision. What do you think would be some key risks to the downside for that outlook?
Oh, that's an easy question to finish. OPEC, definitely, and of course shale producers in the US. The higher prices go, the more likely OPEC is to sort of rescind on any current agreements. And of course, the taps just get turned on more fully across the shale producers in the US, the higher that oil price goes. So definitely they are the risks to the oil, to everything oil related at the moment.
Hey, Ben, always a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. Ben LeBrun, market analyst with Options Express in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on.
650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.